The meeting of the Senate Education Committee will come to order. We have on the agenda today is Senate File 40, which is my bill, so I'm going to turn the gavel over to Senator Nelson, who will chair the meeting as we present that bill. And I'd ask Senator Bonhoff to join me at the table. Welcome, senators, to that side of the table. Just for the tape, as we look at Senate File 40 here, would you just introduce yourself as you introduce the bill, please?
Thank you. I'm Senator Jen Olson, author of the Alternative Licensure Bill, Senate File 40, but co-authoring it in reality with Senator Bonhoff. And I would like to consider us equals in this because Senator Bonhoff has done a yeoman's amount of work in the past couple of years leading the charge to accomplishing this and actually passing it in the Senate. So she will join me in this. And I believe you have information, both a summary and the bill, but I would like to ask Dr. McQuay if she would just review the walk us through it briefly.
Senator Olson, do you have an author's amendment?
I do. In fact, I don't know if you'd be addressing that. I would like to offer the author's amendment. I don't know if I've got it here, but if it's being distributed.
Yes.
Let's see if it's here.
The author's amendment is 40A-2. Do all members have a copy?
Madam Chair, has that been distributed?
Yes, Madam Chair,
okay.
We have it.
Thank you.
Madam Chair and Senator Olson.
Yeah, but Madam Chair, I think as far as the author's amendment, there's just some minor changes with one exception on lines 14 and 15 is some language that does prohibit restricting the use of or the hiring of people with alternative licensure through the collective bargaining agreement.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Do all members have a copy? Senator Olson moves Amendment A2. All those in favor, aye.
Chair.
Aye.
Aye. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I had a question before we voted, if that's all right. I have a question.
Yes.
Senator Olson was talking about lines 14 and 15 on the amendment. And I'm just, are those staying in the amendment or are they coming out?
No, Madam Chair and Senator Scheid, the entire amendment is the author's amendment to put it in the shape that we would like to go forward with it. I just pointed out those two lines as being the only one that might be considered a bit of substantive change.
Then I understand. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Okay.
Thank you,
so,
Senator Scheid.
Thank you for the question, Senator Scheid, Senator Olson. All right. All those in favor of the author's amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? No. Okay. The shape is now in the bill that the author would like. Please continue, Senator Olson.
Okay. Madam Chair and Senator Olson, I'll walk through the bill and I'll try and incorporate the changes that were made in the author's amendment.
Thank you.
In the first section, and this is the first place that the amendment addresses, so the new language is stricken, and what's clarified here is that for the purposes of No Child Left Behind, a highly qualified teacher is inclusive of a teacher who receives this alternative teacher licensure. That's put forth in sections 120 in section 122A 245. Then, beginning on page 2, halfway down is the section 2, and this allows an applicant that is not that has a degree or diploma from another state that is not essentially equivalent to be allowed to take a test to make up for their missing coursework rather than make up their missing coursework. And then beginning on page 3, section 3 is the bulk of the alternative teacher licensure program and the limited license. And what Subdivision 1 does is make a requirement that the Board of Teaching approve an alternative program for a means to acquire a two-year preparation, two-year limited license. It requires those programs to be partnerships of school districts and a college or university, a nonprofit corporation, or a board-approved teacher preparation program. Paragraph B requires that in order for participation in the program, a candidate have a bachelor's degree and pass certain examinations and obtain qualifying scores. Subdivision 2 identifies the characteristics of an alternative teacher preparation program, and those include a minimum 200-hour instructional phase, a research-based and results-oriented approach, strategies to combine pedagogy and best practices, assessment, supervision, and evaluation of the program, and then an intensive ongoing multi-year professional learning opportunities, and finally a requirement that the program participants demonstrate to the school district or charter school that they are making progress towards a standard entrance license. Then beginning at the top of page 4, subdivision 3 requires that the Board of Teaching approve programs based on board-approved criteria that reflect best practices. Subdivision 4 requires that teachers with a limited-term license that are in this section, members of and subject to the local collective bargaining agreement. And then this, as Senator Olson mentioned, was added in the amendment to reflect that a collective bargaining agreement must not limit or prohibit employment of teachers licensed under this section. Subdivision 5 requires that the site, the school district or charter school, evaluate the performance of the participant in the program. Subdivision 6 requires that for persons trained in other states, that the candidate must request from their local site a performance evaluation and a recommendation of whether or not to issue a teacher license. And then under Subdivision 7, that requires the Board of Teaching, when they get the recommendation from the local site, that they issue a standard entrance license to that teacher. Subdivision 8 makes a person with this limited-term license highly qualified under the definition for the purposes of No Child Left Behind. And then Subdivision 9 makes some requirements of the Board of Teaching on the effectiveness of this program. And then finally, and this was added in the amendment, the repealer of 122A24, which is the existing alternative teacher licensure language.
Thank you, Shelby. Senator Olson, do you have any further comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to turn to Senator Bonhoff, who does have some comments you'd like to make.
Senator Bonhoff.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there is some historical precedent of working together in a bipartisan way on these kinds of bills, and I would just like to remind members that Senator Saltzman and Senator Olson worked so closely on the literacy work, and so it is very rewarding to be able to work now in this bipartisan way on this bill. And as you know, this has been an area that I have had a tremendous amount of passion about for the past few years. And the reason for that is and has been eloquently stated by all the people who testified just a couple days ago, and that is making sure that we do everything within our power so that each and every child in Minnesota receives an outstanding and excellent education. And some of us had the occasion to hear Secretary Duncan last Friday, so I don't know how many members of the committee were able to be there, but he was quite inspiring, and he issued a charge to us, and he said that he knows that Minnesota can and will do better in terms of meeting the goal to close the achievement gap. And this piece, which I believe is really just one very small piece of a very comprehensive approach that we must take when looking at how do we ensure each and every student's success, but it is an important piece, and Secretary Duncan must have mentioned it, I would say, four times, where he said that those states that are having great success are, in fact, opening up the doors and saying there's more than one way to get the best teachers into the classroom. And that's all we're going for. We know we've got great teachers all over this state. This will be a very small percentage of the total group of teachers, but they will be our standard teachers' partners. They will not be in competition. They will be side by side, and we will count on our traditional teachers to mentor these new teachers. And so I'm hopeful that the committee will for sure ask the questions you need to ask so that you are confident that this bill does what we say it's going to do. But I'm hopeful that the committee will join us in supporting the passage this session of alternative licensure for Minnesota.
Thank you, Senator Bonoff. Any other comments, Senator Olson?
I think that we're open for questions or discussion.
Okay. I know we have a couple testifiers who have already asked to speak. The first one will be Jan Allswiger from Education Minnesota. Good afternoon, Ms. Allswiger. Could you identify yourself for the tape, please?
Certainly. My name is Jan Allswiger. I serve as Chief Lobbyist for Education Minnesota. It's a pleasure to be here, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I would like to try to offer some thoughts, positive thoughts, about how we can make this bill work. And certainly I would love to engage in any questions that you might have. I know that Senator Olson and Senator Bonoff have the best intentions for our students, and so I'm hoping we can continue a dialogue as we have in the past to try to make this bill work for everyone. So I will be talking from the bill. Overall, I first want to say that Education Minnesota has always supported alternative license programs. We support these programs as long as they meet the same level of standard. We can have alternative routes, but the standards need to be the same. And I'll point those out as I go through the bill. And I think that it's very important that what they're trying to do is to recruit and retain the brightest students to be put into our classrooms. We are just concerned about the type of shortcut. So let's go through the bill. I would like to point you to line starting at 3.1. And this bill allows for a teacher preparation program that must be approved by the Board of Teaching. We think that that's a very good idea. We do have concerns on line 3.6 because of the word either. It allows for the program to be either a partnership with school districts and charter schools, and then either a college or university, which we think is good, or a nonprofit corporation. While we're not opposed to a nonprofit corporation, what we do believe is that a nonprofit corporation should be partnered with a college or university that has a teacher preparation program. That would allow the program to meet that level of standard that we think is important. Because colleges work to prepare teachers, we think that that should be something that would be accepted. Then going on to the next paragraph, on line 3.11, again now at excuse me, 3.10, it says the word or. So you have three options. You have the college or university with a board-approved alternative teacher prep program. You have, second, the nonprofit corporation. Or you have a board-approved teacher prep program within a district. And there is no requirement for this one to have a connection to higher ed. That means that if a small school district in northern, southern Minnesota, or even a metro district, decided that they wanted to have a teacher prep program, they could design it all on their own and without a higher ed institution that works with teacher prep programs. We believe that especially in a smaller district like that, or even a larger district, that there should be a connection to higher ed. Again, that gets to the issue of quality. Moving on to line 4.1. This paragraph talks about the program approval process. And the Board of Teaching, it says, must approve alternative teacher prep programs based on under this section based on board-adopted criteria. And then line 4.4 says that the board must permit licensure candidates. There's a couple musts in there. What I would like to offer to you is the possibility of changing the words must to may, because there may be situations where the Board of Teaching feels okay, they might be meeting the criteria, but there are other circumstances with this program that may not meet what is intended. And if you change the word to may, it gives the Board of Teaching, and the Board of Teaching is the organization that is in charge of maintaining the standards for our teachers in our state. It gives them the authority to make that final decision. So we would recommend that the word be may. On line 4.4, again, we encounter the word must. And if you pair the word must with the last three words in that sentence, we think it's a little problematic. I'll read it. The board must permit licensure candidates to demonstrate pedagogy and content standard in school-based settings and through non-traditional means. I would suggest that non-traditional means mean anywhere other than a school district. And it says that the school, the Board of Teaching, or they must permit candidates to demonstrate that. So if a non-traditional means is something that is unacceptable to the board, but they supposedly meet the criteria, it could create a situation where all of you sitting at the table might not think it's appropriate, but because it says non-traditional means, it would have to be approved. On line 4.10, excuse me, I think I was at 4.1, that was in the last paragraph. On line 4.10, we encounter the word may, which is, of course, the opposite, not the opposite, but different than must, and we know that these words can have a significant impact on how the language is interpreted. It states that the local site team may include teachers, school administrators, post-secondary faculty, and nonprofit staff to evaluate the performance of the teacher candidate. So in this program, you would have a site team. That's a good idea. And this is really defining what that site team would, who would be composed of that team, excuse me. We would recommend that you say must, because by putting the word may, you're going to have a site team that is making decisions about the performance of this teacher that does not have to include any teachers. It doesn't have to have any administrators. It does not have to have any higher ed. It doesn't even have to have any nonprofit. The word may gives the school district or the program the authority to appoint whomever they want. And we believe that there should be a requirement that all of those categories are included, because you could have, by having may, that means that you could exclude all of these, you could include all of these, a combination of the two, or you could have anyone else. You could have five business members from your a local chamber of commerce. You could have anybody. And we believe that to keep quality, you should have the site team, including teachers, administrators, and post-secondary faculty, and certainly nonprofit as well.
Madam Chair, and Ms. Olswager.
Senator Olson.
I would just point out that in the author's amendment, that was changed, and the local site team is now the school district or charter school, and line 11 was deleted, so that the school district or charter school must evaluate the performance of the teacher candidate.
Madam Chair, Senator.
Ms. Alzweiger.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, we appreciate that. I still think that you have some of the same issues, where it's now the school district, and you're not necessarily including, you're not defining who those people are. So I think that that certainly is an improvement, and we appreciate that. I think we could probably make it a little tighter as well. In order to be a licensed teacher in Minnesota, in a regular program, or even in the alternative programs that we already have in the state, there are two sets of standards that you must meet. The first one is the standard of effective practice. Every single teacher in the state must meet the standards of effective practice. These are the general teaching standards. There is a second set of standards that all teachers must meet as well. And that is for the area, subject area in which you're teaching. So elementary teachers have content-specific standards. Science teachers, content-specific standards. Math teachers. Why? Because what you teach in elementary is very different than teaching high school science, which is very different from teaching math and very different from teaching social studies. So all licensed teachers in Minnesota have specific content standards that they must meet. This bill does not require that. So you would only have to meet the standards of effective practice, but you wouldn't necessarily have to, you don't have to meet the science standards if you're going to teach science. You don't have to meet the elementary standards, and so on. So we think that adding in some language there would be also very helpful. 4.16, I think, is very problematic. I want to explain what this would do. First, I don't know if you had the opportunity. I believe you had the opportunity to hear John Milek from the licensing department, the Minnesota Department of Education. It's really fun to listen to him talk about the quality of the Minnesota teaching license. It makes me proud to be a former teacher. It makes our teachers in Minnesota to be proud of what they have accomplished, because the Minnesota teaching license is very respected because of the quality. There are, in some of his testimony that he's given in the past, there are individuals who will purposely come and get a license in Minnesota and go teach elsewhere because they know that the Minnesota teaching license means a lot. He's also said that sometimes they won't go to some states to get a teaching license because it would be better to start out in Minnesota. So I look at this paragraph, which would allow an individual, and I'm not picking on any particular state. I actually used to teach in North Carolina. I'm just going to pick a state. Let's just say Mississippi. If I were an alternatively licensed teacher in Mississippi, I then could be employed in Mississippi. I decide to move to Minnesota. Don't have a Minnesota teaching license. The standards in Mississippi, I don't know what they are probably different than Minnesota. But this language would say that if I was an alternatively licensed teacher in Mississippi, that I could go back to my administrator, the site or the program, that I think is a little unclear to me, and ask them if I met the Minnesota standards. How would they really know? And if they write a letter and say, okay, I am now a licensed Minnesota teacher, do we really want other states to license our teachers?
Ms. Alzweiger, might I ask you to look at Subdivision 7 just before we leave that thought? Line 4, 26 and 27, 28 and 29, would that not cover that concern?
Madam Chair, I think that the previous musts in there don't give as much leeway, and that's one of the points that I made before. Is the Board of Teaching going to know enough about that program in Mississippi, in order to sign off and say that they have met the Minnesota standards? I think that there's some serious question about that. I respect you in pointing that out, but I don't think it still meets to the rigor that it would in Minnesota.
Would the Board of Teaching have that type of latitude that you're talking about if it was someone just coming in from a different state?
Well, if Madam Chair, on 4.25, again, which is one of the things I was going to bring up, it says, again, that the Board of Teaching must issue a standard entrance license to a candidate who successfully performs. And it says that the candidate must request from the local site in Mississippi or wherever that they taught a formal performance evaluation using a methodology identical and substantially similar to Minnesota. And so if an administrator from another state signs off and says that this person has done that, and then the Board of Teaching gets that document, and now it says in line 4.25 that the Board of Teaching must approve this, now you may have a little conflict between the state that said that they met the standards and the Board of Teaching who now says, I have to give it because this other state said that they've met them. So we think that there's a conflict there. And even if that wasn't a conflict, I think it would be very difficult for the Board of Teaching to determine whether the Mississippi program or North Carolina or Washington State program met the Minnesota standards. That they would have to now be on top of 50 states if they were 50 alternatives. There's one piece I don't believe I did talk about that I would like to mention as well. If you would go back to line 3.13. In order to participate in this program, a candidate must have a bachelor's degree. We think that's good because at one time they didn't even have to have a college degree. But we believe that they should have a content-specific degree. So in other words, if you're going to teach science, you should have a degree in science. If you're going to teach math, you should have a college degree in math. The way this language is worded, you could have a degree in journalism and be accepted into the program to teach math or science. You could have a science degree and be able to teach elementary. Maybe that works. I think it's more difficult to have individual teaching in some of those areas where we really want to close the achievement gap when they don't have a math or a science degree or something specific like that.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Alschwager, I just do want to draw your attention on page 2, line 2.32, 2.33, and 2.34. I do believe that's why that language was inserted. An applicant who holds a diploma or degree that is not essentially equivalent. So if they don't have a major, you know, if it's not in their major, they can pass out of the subject area?
Ms. Alschwager.
Madam Chair, Senator Bonoff, yes, we are aware that that language is in, and really what this is a content test. Would you say that that's correct? I believe it's a content test. We believe that when you are a science major, there is a breadth. There's a breadth of information, a lot of depth in the information that a science teacher receives or science major receives that would be beneficial if you were a science teacher. So taking a test is a better step forward, but we don't believe that one test will tell you if they adequately know all of the information that one should know in order to teach the science. But certainly that language is better than it was in the past.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Ms. Alschwager, thank you for your testimony. I did get your opening comment where you said that Education Minnesota does support alternative pathways to licensure, but I'm not sure what that would look like. It seems as if it would have to look pretty much like what we have right now in order to qualify. And I'd be interested to see if you had an alternative licensure program that you would propose, because the things that you've raised objections to are all the things that are really different from the current practice. But what the point, I guess, or the question I wanted to ask, and I understand, and I think we all share your commitment and the Education Minnesota's commitment to having highly qualified teachers in the classroom. I think everybody believes that. Everybody wants that. To me, the real question is, the people who make the hiring decision are the local people. The local HR departments are going to interview candidates. They're going to come to the school with some form of licensure or some form of preparation, and then they're going to come before a committee or a HR staff or principals. Local folks are going to make a hiring decision. I don't believe that they would make those decisions if they didn't believe they were hiring a competent person, and licensure is a part of that. And the kind of licensure you get could or could not be, may or may not be a factor. But I think having this alternative pathway doesn't preclude a local school from making the decisions about hiring under any criteria that they wish. So to have this structure in place, I think, to your point of making sure we have highly qualified teachers in the classroom, does not do damage to that idea, if we believe that local people making local hiring decisions are capable of deciding when they have a good teacher in front of them. Would you agree with that?
Ms. Altweiger.
Madam Chair, Senator Hahn, I think we've had this discussion before, and I believe that local administrators do their very best to hire the best and the brightest. I can tell you as an individual who sometimes has to hire an electrician or a plumber or whomever, I want that plumber or electrician to meet a certain level of standards. I don't have the knowledge to pick the best electrician. I don't, even though I use electricity all the time. I do believe that school administrators certainly know the subject area and the teaching profession much better than I would ever know electricity. But one of the reasons that Minnesota is held in such regard with their licensure is the high quality and the stamp of approval, basically, that is put on that teaching license. When a school district hires a teacher, they know that they've met the standards of the Board of Teaching. What we are saying here is that there might be different standards. We think it's a lot tighter. We don't want any... We would like to have all of the teachers meet those same standards because these are our kids that we are working with. We want the best and the brightest. There's two other areas that the one area is the content area, having a degree in the content area. The second one is I want to make sure you understand there isn't any ongoing, all day, every day student teaching in this proposal. There's a 5-week program, 200 hours, or you could stretch it out to however many weeks you want, but it's 200 hours. And I know that there's classes, certainly, but what Education Minnesota supports the student teaching process. One of the reasons is because we want good teachers in the classroom. In the current system, you must go through a student teaching process. And if a teacher is not, or a potential teacher is not doing well, we support higher ed and the supervising teachers to say, no, this candidate should not continue teaching. And just like during the probationary period, we have 3 years of probationary time. And if a teacher is not performing well, that administrator should not renew that teacher. But this is different. There wouldn't be any student teaching component that is ongoing all day, every day, for a period of a number of weeks, where that individual can prove that they are successful in the classroom. When I first started teaching, I was overwhelmed by the all day long program. My administrator is asking me to do this. The parents want this. I have all this curriculum. I have student one's demands, student two, student three, student four in math, in science, in reading. Juggling all of those instructional issues and decisions is significant for a first-year teacher. And these individuals are going to be right out of college for the most part. we believe that putting someone in a student teaching atmosphere, ongoing, all day, every day, for a period of 90 days, allows them to prove that they are competent and successful with kids. I'll just make some summary comments, Madam Chair, if that's probably a good idea at this point. We do wonder how changing these standards so that there aren't as many requirements can actually help close the achievement gap. When we are not requiring a degree in a content area, when we are not requiring ongoing, all day, every day student teaching for 90 days or whatever figure you want to decide upon. Education Minnesota stands here before you to say we support alternative routes to teaching, but we want to make sure that every teacher that is before our kids is qualified and meets the standards set by the Board of Teaching. Let's make it a different way. Education Minnesota stands ready to talk with anybody who wants to figure out how to close the achievement gap, how to have better teachers and improve instruction, how to attract and retain our best teachers. And, Madam Chair, if you have any questions, any further questions, I'd certainly be happy to.
Thank you, Ms. Alzweiger. I know we have several other testifiers. Do you have a question, Senator Scheid?
I do, Madam Chair. Thank you. Maybe I didn't understand.
Senator Scheid, could you use the mic?
All of the Board of Teaching testimony last week, but it seems to me that the board is the one that sets the standards, of which you say, you know, are very good for Minnesota, and I agree, but I think it's the same board that would be setting the standards for the alternative licensure. And so that puzzles me a little bit. It seems to me there's some sort of, what's the word anyway, disconnect for me, if that's not the case, but I think it is. And then I think we continue to require competence in the subject area, I believe, down under subdivision 7 on page 4. It says they have to complete all necessary examinations, content area, and pedagogy tests. That seems to me to cover that area, because I believe that you can be a German and English major and teach social studies. I think I'm very good at it, and I have a lifetime, clearly, of experience doing that, you know, being involved in civics, et cetera. And so if I can demonstrate the knowledge in an exam, the content, then I think I ought to be able, you know, and to comply with all of the other requirements here. But I think the basic question is, isn't it the Board of Teaching that's setting the standards? And if so, they are doing a wonderful job with standards for the regular route of licensure in Minnesota, that they would then also do a good job here for these standards.
Ms. Alzweiger.
Madam Chair, Senator Scheid, we would agree with you that we think the Board of Teaching is doing a good job, and we also agree with you that the Board of Teaching would probably do a nice job in setting the standards for the program, and we would support a model such as that. It gets to, on line 4.10, the approval for the standard license, it gets to the maze and must that I talked to you about, because you can have a very good program established by the Board of Teaching, but then what does the implementation look like? Because in 4.10, it's a may on who is in the site team. And then on line 4.25, it says the Board of Teaching must issue a standard license. So if the team, and I believe it was changed to the charter schools or school district, but if you're not including higher ed anymore, and we think that that's more of a constant factor. So even if the board approves a quality program, it because of the other two paragraphs, I think it weakens it, potentially.
Are there any other questions for Ms. Alzweiger? Senator DeKreif.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Alzweiger, I have a question, and I think all of us here would agree that we need to work to keep the best quality teachers in front of our students that we possibly can. And I hear a little pushback from your organization for some of the terminology here, that we're doing our very best to get some new fresh blood into the teaching world that we think has an opportunity to rise to the top. Your organization at times is busy protecting some underachieving teachers. I know you call it due process, but yet there's some underachieving teachers that it's very, very costly and it takes a very long time to move an underachieving teacher out of the classroom. And I wonder if you'd want to speak to that, because it's a mixed standard here. I think when we have students that have an underachieving teacher in their classroom, and your organization is working very hard to protect them, we have a real problem. And what I want to do is make certain that every teacher, and I think every student deserves it, every one of the great teachers in our state deserve it, our parents, our administrators, our taxpayers deserve the very best that we can do. And I'd like you to speak to the fact a little bit about your protection of some of the underachieving teachers.
Ms. Alzweiger, we will want to keep our comments brief because we do have several other testifiers. But please, go ahead.
Madam Chair, Senator, we agree with what you said about having the quality teachers in the classroom. Education Minnesota supports evaluations of teachers, formative and summative. I won't get into all the definitions. We want administrators to evaluate our teachers. We want administrators to tell teachers where they fall short, where they are doing very well. And frankly, administrators are very busy people. And we hope that this legislative session, we can work with you to come to agreement with a teacher evaluation language that will be ongoing evaluation, so that a teacher knows that they're going to be evaluated by their peers, by their administrators, that there are some consequences if a teacher is not performing, focus on improving their abilities as a teacher so that the instruction is better, so that students achieve better than they have been for a teacher who is not performing as they should, and then other processes if indeed the teacher is not doing well. We believe that there are circumstances where teachers are in situations where there should be due process, no matter what, there should be due process. But it's hard to get to that point if a teacher hasn't been evaluated in 17 years. And we know that's happening out there, and we don't think that's right. We want teachers evaluated.
Thank you, Ms. Alzweiger. Sounds like a topic for another bill. Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two quick clarifications. On page 3, lines 3-9 and 3-11, just clarification for my sake. Line 3-9, if I heard you correctly, I think what you said is your concern there was not necessarily with the content itself in line 3-9, but that it was an educator-related purpose, not necessarily connected to an educational institution. Is that correct?
Madam Chair.
Ms. Alzweiger.
Madam Chair, Senator Nenow, in the lines 3.9, the II, and the 3.11, the III, there is no connection to a college or university, and we believe that that should be the case. We believe that the higher education institution that has a teacher-approved preparation program is one more level of quality that should be included.
Senator Nenow, any follow-up?
Yeah, well, that was my question mostly about line 3-9. And then line 3-11, could you just revisit that, your concern there? Was it just what you just said, or was there something in addition?
Ms. Alzweiger.
Madam Chair, Senator Nino, all three of them, you have the choice because it says either. You've got the choice of three. You have a college or university. You have a nonprofit corporation that could, you know, prepare these people to be teachers. Or you could have a school district. What we are recommending is that in each one of these that you have a higher ed connection to a teacher preparation program. So go ahead and have a nonprofit corporation. Nothing in my testimony would prohibit TFA, Teach for America, to be operating in Minnesota. So TFA could have a connection to higher ed. A school district could have a connection to higher ed. And we think that that would make the language stronger and assure more quality.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Senators. All right.
Madam Chair,
Senator Bonoff.
One brief. Thank you.
Yes.
And members, I think it is an important process to have people who disagree come and say what they do on the record. But then at the same time, I just want also on the record that we do not necessarily accept the conclusions with regard particularly to lower standards. There was some talk that Education Minnesota is for an alternative licensure as long as it doesn't lower standards. We would not support any alternative licensure program where we lowered standards for teachers. So we don't agree that this would do that, nor would we accept that.
Thank you, Senator Bonoff. Any other comments? All right. We do have a couple other testifiers. Thank you, Ms. Alzweiger. I believe we have several people here who would like to testify in favor of Senate File 40. I believe they're from Teach for America. Could you come to the testifiers table, please, and identify yourself?
Madam Chair, members, Daniel Sellers, Executive Director of Teach for America in the Twin Cities, and because all of you heard from me last week, if it pleases the committee, and because I know he has somewhere that he's got to get to, I believe one of our partner principals, Dr. Samuel Yigza, is going to take advantage of this opportunity to speak. And if there are questions, if there are questions, I'm happy to answer those as well from last week as well.
And would you identify yourself for the tape, please?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Samuel Yigza. I'm principal of Higher Ground Academy, and I'm adjunct faculty at St. Mary's University of Minnesota.
Thank you. Did you have some comments?
Yes, I do.
Please go ahead.
Higher Ground Academy works in partnership with Teach for America. We hired three teachers the previous school year from Teach for America. As the instructional leader of the school, I work with those three teachers very closely, and I found them to be impressive in a number of ways. I will speak about three of those ways here. One is that they come to us with a very strong content knowledge. We had teachers teaching in the high school specified subjects like mathematics and sciences, and they came to it with a very strong background in those content areas. Another impressive thing that we found in those teachers is that, you know, their encounter into education. They know the children before they were exposed to the research. So when you sit with them to problem solve, when you look at data, they don't go back and think about the research that justifies the data that is in front of you. Rather, they look at it with care and with compassion. And that I found to be very impressive. And another impressive thing I found in them is the dedication and the care. I arrive at school every day at 6 o'clock. We start school at 7:30. I arrive at 6. Well before I get there, the Teach for America teachers are there. And oftentimes I leave at 6:30, 7 p.m. in the evening, and they are still in the building. and I go to their rooms and talk to them just to find out what they are doing. They are planning. They are team teaching. They are working together. We are highly, highly impressed with what they do. So this school year we have six more, and none of them has disappointed us. They are doing very well. They blend with the rest of the staff. Higher Ground Academy is a big school. We have about 45 teachers, and nine of them are from Teach for America. The others came through the traditional teacher training program. And these nine teachers, they blend very well with the other teachers. They have a very positive attitude. They are serious with their own life, and they are serious about the children. And that I found to be a plus.
Thank you, Mr. Igsa. Are there any comments? Senators, any questions, comments? I believe is there another testifier that you have, Mr. Zellers? Thank you, Mr. Samuels. No, Mr. Igsa. Now we'll have Ms. Samuels, please.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was like, wow, isn't yeah. Greetings, Madam Chair and Senators. Hi. Great to be back. I was part of fighting this fight last year. And I think the year before, but the Senate always gets it right, so I'm holding on to that. Really quick, I'm never really quick, but I will be.
Ms. Samuels, would you just identify yourself for the record,
Sandra,
please,
Samuels.
On the tape?
And a couple of things about me in terms of I am the mother of three and wife, and I live in North Minneapolis and really care about this issue deeply. I'm also the CEO of the Northside Achievement Zone, which is modeled after the Harlem Children's Zone, and we are doing a place-based strategy in North Minneapolis. I'm also a member of the African American Leadership Forum, also a member of Northside Policy Action Coalition, and I am also a founding board member of MNCAN, which you'll be hearing a lot about, and you'll get the state report if you didn't yet, Senators. And all of these organizations with hundreds of members support this legislation wholeheartedly, and we support it with all its teeth. You know, as I was listening to the representative from Education Minnesota, I reflected on my days at Ford Motor Company, and it was back in the 80s when we were getting our behinds kicked by Asia. And they had us going in and doing secret shopping in Toyota dealerships and so on. But we came back, and our designers had a task. And it was, we have to regain market share. We have to stop slipping. And if we had done, as Education Minnesota is doing with this licensure, and said, you know what, we do support changing the Ford, but let's not touch the mileage. We got to keep the mileage the same. And make sure you don't mess with the axle rods. I got to tell you, our designers would have been hamstrung. And I want to today just tell you that I am speaking not just on behalf of all of these constituencies, but I really want to color this conversation. I'm speaking unabashedly on behalf of low-income minority kids in this state who are not getting a quality education today. Okay? And for me, when we talk about high standards and quality, we have to talk about effectiveness as well. And effectiveness as it translates into my getting a solid in my children K through 12 education in Minnesota's school system. To date, that's not happening. Now, we have a lot of great teachers in Minnesota, and I know many of them, but we need more. And our community cannot wait for it to happen. And I believe this licensure is one way to do it. Because right now in Minnesota, because we don't have the kind of passionate urgency to get it done, I think. Here I think we do. Today, thank goodness. But because from some camps we don't, we are really creating a bifurcated society where, by and large, middle-class white children will, for example, and are being groomed in our school establishments to own McDonald's franchises. And brown and black students are being prepared to possibly mop the floors. And I have a couple of, you know, I looked at a couple of statewide and local data to talk about the gap that's not just in North Minneapolis. Statewide, you know, in terms of our math figures, according to the 2010 results. And again, please, as you listen to these numbers, think about effectiveness, just not about how many qualifications someone brings to the room. But anyway, white students in the state, 71.24% are at grade level, proficient in math. And of course, we know STEM careers are the careers of the future. For black students, that we are 36.6% proficient. So 71 versus 36. This is in the same state. In Edina, where my mother lives, every day I need attention, and their kids are getting it there. 88.3% of the white kids are proficient. African-American, 56%, even a gap there. Southwest High School, 77% of the kids are proficient. White, only 23% of African-Americans are. And if we pull it to my neighborhood at North High, we don't have enough white students at that high school to actually be to qualify for these numbers. Only 3.3% of the students are proficient in math. And so for me, right now in Minnesota, the quality of education you get is dependent on your zip code. And we know that we can make a difference. And I just want to. What we believe with the Northside Achievement Zone, we have 60 organizations that have come together, and I don't want to pretend that families don't matter. We believe that a solid education in Minnesota, in terms of the child, just the welfare of the child, rests on a four-legged table, that of family. And we are focusing on family. We know that families are the first teacher. And so we're going into homes. We're doing early childhood education. We are engaging our families. And then community. You've given millions of dollars to organizations like mine over the years, and our students are still failing. So we know that we need to man up and woman up as well. And then the third and fourth leg would be schools and policy. And that's where you come in. My description for prescription for a great education is real simple: great teaching and more of it. And how do you, as legislators, give us the community and families, how do you partner with us to make sure we change the outcomes for our kids? And it's around policy all day long. And we know that alternative certification, when it does not get the teeth taken out of it, works. We've seen it work. We put a person on the moon, so we don't question whether we can go to the moon anymore. Alternative certification worked in Stand and Deliver. Anybody see that movie with Jamie Escalante? He just passed. He had a group of Latino young men and women that everybody thought were gangbangers and destined for the grave, the cradle to prison pipeline. He believed in them. He said that math was the great equalizer, and all of his students, except for maybe one, passed their advanced calculus course. It was so amazing that I think it was the board, I forgot what testing service, questioned whether or not so many low-income Latino students could pass. Then we know Aaron Gruwell. Remember that movie, Freedom Riders? You know, true story. Again, her students were called unteachables, right? She said, I believe in them. And she did it. And then, I mean, I could just go on. Harlem Children's Zone, yes, Prep in Texas. Urban Prep Academy, where 100% of their low-income African-American males are graduating. And when I talk to each of these schools, and I have, I didn't talk to the stars of the movies, but I have talked to the schools, they all said, of course we use alternative certification as just one means to get quality teachers in the classroom. Of course we have our fair share of Teach for America teachers. And they said, Sandra, we guarantee you they compete equally with teachers who come through the traditional route, because we're not going to allow our kids to have a mediocre teacher in the classroom. And I, by the way, do trust the Board of Teaching to make that judgment, because they've done it well for white students. And I believe their mission is to do it for all students. So I'm going to close. And I want to close with this. It's a quote by Martin Luther King. We only usually hear his I Have a Dream. But he actually said a lot about education that I think is lost on us. And right now, when it comes to black and brown students, I believe that we are in a storm. We're in a vortex of the storm. And they are being swallowed up. And so in 1967, Martin Luther King felt the winds changing. He beheld the smoldering clouds, and he knew America's levees, protecting its black and brown children, still were too weak to withstand the impending doom. In his book, Where Do We Go From Here, he states prophetically that American schools have always been historic routes of social mobility, especially for whites, but that when Negroes and others of the underclass now ask that schools play the same function for them, many within and without the school system answer that schools cannot do the job. They would impose on the family the whole task of preparing and leading youngsters into educational advance. Whatever pathologies may exist in Negro families is far exceeded by this social pathology in the school system that refuses to accept a responsibility that no one else can bear, and then scapegoats Negro families for failing to do the job. He goes on to say that the mission of schools should be clear: the rapid improvement of school performance of Negroes and other poor children. If this does not happen, America will suffer for decades to come. I believe what was true in 1967 is still true in 2011, and that alternative certification, while it is not the end-all be-all, it is a great way of showing that we as Americans are serious and we as Minnesotans are serious about closing this persistent and pernicious achievement gap. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Samuels, for your passion and your commitment to making sure all students learn. Now, are there any other testifiers? There are none on the docket, but is there anyone here today who would like to testify? And before I let you get away, Ms. Samuels, are there any questions from members? Any comments, questions? All right. Before we take amendments, I just want to thank Mr. Sellers as well. And we do have a quorum present. Are there any amendments? Senator Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have an amendment prepared, but I do want to ask the authors a question. Ms. Samuels speak with passion about an issue that many of us speak with passion about, of course, and that is achievement gap and disparities. And in this bill, we have an opportunity to look at reporting. And I would like to use this opportunity to figure out a way to measure this attempt that we're making today, because I think this has bipartisan support. I think we're moving forward. I have supported it, and I'm glad that it's moving forward. One thing that is not clear to me, and I expressed this a couple of years ago, and I will express it. I did it again last year, and I will express it again, is I am not sure that we will actually be able to measure the connection between hiring new teachers and lowering the numbers or dealing with the numbers in terms of achievement gap. I'm not sure that this will actually produce the results. So on Subdivision 9, page 4, 3-4, we're asking the Board of Teaching to submit an interim report on the efficacy of this program, and that is so broad, and I don't know what that actually means. And what was very good in our previous meeting, and some members are of our Government Innovations meeting, we had a report from a county administrator from Beltrami. And he described something very interesting. You know, I work with county agencies for 16 years. And he said, we measure our ability to provide service, not our measure. We don't measure our outcomes. And he was talking about chemical dependency. I believe that this report will measure our ability to hire new people, not necessarily to make an impact on achievement gap. It's kind of the same thing that this director was talking about, the counties. So we give money to the counties and we measure their ability to provide service. So I am afraid that this language is so broad that it will simply ask the board to tell us, well, we now have more teachers and they are diverse. Some of them are bilingual, and some of them are African American. And so what? We have the same achievement gap that we had in 2010. So I would like to work with the two of you to incorporate some language that actually gives us the opportunity to measure an academic growth outcome. So that if we hire new teachers now, and we claim that bringing this new blood and this new energy actually help us address the achievement gap, we actually ask the board to give us some kind of measure that tells us, indeed, we are hiring these competent teachers who have this background, and indeed we're making progress in dealing with achievement gap. And I'm not necessarily sure that there are any measures in this bill that will actually measure that.
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair and Senator Torres-Rae, I really appreciate what you're saying because it is needed. I do think it is not appropriate at this time to expect the Board of Teaching to be able to acquire that information. We have an obligation to help do what U.S. Secretary Duncan has had as a criteria and is set forth is the use of data and the whole spectrum of data. And we're missing a couple of links in our data system right now, and one of them is linking that student performance to the teacher as well as to the means of preparation of that teacher. Those two links are what are going to provide the kind of information that you're looking for, and I think we are already planned a little later in this session that we're going to spend some time on both examining and understanding that need and determining what we need to do as a state in terms of setting policy so that, that's the very information that we will get feedback that will both help us to determine where we can put our energies and what kinds of situations and teacher quality and all of these kinds of things connect to improving the student achievement and closing the achievement gap. So I think I would not want to put that burden on the Board of Teaching at this moment until we get our act together on the issue of the data.
Senator Torres, right.
Thank you. Madam Chair, a follow-up, Senator Olson. We are proposing that this is actually an instrument to get us there, right? And one of the problems that we have is that historically we have presented these ideas, these instruments, to say we're going to, if we do this, I believe that that's what the authors are proposing, that if we do this, we get to that, right? That is the fundamental premise of your proposal, that you want to deal with achievement gap. That's the reason you want these teachers. You've said that, you know, we have, let me ask that. The fundamental premise behind this is that you want to deal with achievement gap.
Senator Bonner.
That you want to give this opportunity. If that is the fundamental promise, I would like to get an answer to that. Don't you think that we need to measure? Because it's a tool that you're using to get there.
Senator Bonoff.
Madam Chair, Senator Torres-Rae, number one, yes, that is the primary reason for the bill, is to close the achievement gap. I concur with Senator Olson and give you my promise that as we write legislation policy this session where we actually do put together a teacher, which we tried to do last year, but put together a teacher effectiveness evaluation system that links the growth of a student to the teacher, that we will make sure to include in that language that we that alternatively licensed teachers, we also get that measure and we report on it. So that we, just what you're saying, we want to do exactly what you're saying. Senator Olson's saying she does not believe this bill is the proper place to do it because it isn't the Board of Teaching who's going to ultimately implement it. It will be implemented within the district, and so we want it to match that section of law when we go through the teacher evaluation policymaking. But you're right on.
Thank you, Senator Bonoff. I just wanted
Senator
to make
Torres-Rae.
Sure. Thank you. Sorry, Madam Chair. I got excited about it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. Just want to make sure, Senator Bonoff and Senator Olson, because that is really what you're proposing. And unless we measure, we're going to keep adopting these measures that we think will actually help us, but we don't have a way of measuring 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And that is just, I think, a fundamental issue in education right now.
Madam Chair, I think
Senator Olson.
Mr. Sellers could probably affirm that this is not a brand new experiment. It has been going on for some time, and they do have evidence in other states, and I think perhaps in some states where they already have the data quality system in place to be able to measure that. So we're not just launching out without having some evidence that this can work. This is creating an alternative pathway, not one that's linked to the standard or the traditional ways, but it's one that has been a pathway that has led to bringing quality teachers in that can that are committed and absolutely believe they can do it and believe that the students can learn. It's that high expectations that that I think we've slipped away from in for many of these students that is critical. And I think Mrs. Samuels drove that point home. We've got to believe that that can be done, and I think we need to interject some of that passion and energy into our classrooms and start to lead the way to that. And I think this is a step. It's not the whole package. It's not the whole enchilada. It is a small step, and it's one that we should be taking. We should have taken before, but now is the day.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Members, hearing. Oh, yes, Senator Wang.
Madam Chair, I had a question, and then I'm pondering an amendment. There's the alternative licensure where you could go directly to a nonprofit corporation or to a school district program without an affiliation with higher ed. That's in the bill. It was suggested that there be this linkage. Your response on that recommendation?
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair and Senator Wiger. I think that's the meaning of the alternative pathway. All of our preparation now is through an institution of higher education. There isn't a total magic there because it's been proven that there are routes that can be effective. And I think Teach for America has demonstrated that. There are school districts that, I think one school district in our state that has attempted that route as a part of, I think, what was part of their kind of QComp work to try to develop the teachers that could help advance that, and they need that vehicle. This is qualified people that are close to the firing line, understand what it takes to teach and to learn, and I think we should provide for those kinds of options. If it starts to fail, we'll be the first to know probably, but I don't expect it to. I think we do need that option rather than having a tight link to the traditional system.
Okay.
Senator Wiger.
Madam Chair, for a discussion, I'd like to offer A3.
Amendment A3, do all the members have this amendment?
I don't believe it's been distributed, but...
Oh, could we have it distributed, please?
And in the interest of time, Madam Chair, maybe I could start to address it and...
Please do so.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. The A3, which is being distributed, primarily addresses two things. First, a 90-day supervision for that person in the alternative licensure program. You're coming out of 5 weeks, with no classroom experience. We talk about rigorous expectations and accountability, and I think this will ensure that. We had reference to Secretary Duncan. Secretary Duncan, Friday, and I was there. He said, alternative licensure, yes. And he also said, rigorous standards and accountability. I believe the 90-day provision, at least 90 days, will help provide that. And the second part of the amendment, which is actually in the beginning part, but I wanted to address the 90 days first, would be for performance-based assessment. There's going to be more discussion about that, but making sure that all graduates of our school, of our schools of higher ed, the 32, and I don't know if higher ed's even going to hear this bill, but it has expectations that we would have for performance-based assessments. And this is elaborated at 1.28 and goes to the next page. I know we don't refer to the other body, but I will. This language did go on. I believe it was in a bipartisan fashion on at least one of the bills that's moving. And I just point that out for the record. I don't get involved in all the political intrigues and the what's being getting ready for conference, but this language here on performance-based assessment was put on in a bipartisan manner, in the, at least on one of the vehicles that's apparently moving. So in the name of rigorous expectations, in the name of accountability as encouraged by Secretary Duncan, and also with my hope that we can make a good bill much better with that objective, I offer that.
Thank you, Senator Wieger. Senator Wieger has moved Amendment A3. Is there any further discussion? Senator Sieben.
Madam Chair, I'd like to request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested.
We may need to discuss it.
Madam Chair.
I thought I heard a
Madam
voice.
Chair.
Yes, Senator Schein.
I'm sorry. I'm losing my voice.
Yes.
I represent Brooklyn Park and Brooklyn Center, every school in those two communities of which the part that I represent is well over 50% student of color, maybe 70-80% students of color. They can't wait another generation. Ms. Samuels was so right. That's what I can't stand. I do some substitute teaching in the Brooklyn Center schools. Not one of those kids deserves to have to wait to have a quality education and the opportunity. And I call it an opportunity gap instead of achievement, because I know the ability to achieve is there. If we just continue to do more of the same, we're not going to get there. And the fact that Minnesota has this gap is just an obscenity in my mind. I just can't stand it. I'm a product of a Minnesota public school system. I'm proud of it. And it's a whole different world. I grew up in St. Louis Park. I didn't see a person of color. I didn't see anybody who didn't speak English. And I represent a lot of people of color and a lot of people who don't speak English and a lot of people who aren't citizens but whose children are students in our school district. And I can't go back to the district I represent and say that the status quo is okay. And I don't blame teachers. And there may be some people here who are going to vote for the bill who do blame teachers and who have a thing about education in Minnesota. I honor teachers. I have enormous respect. They do the most important work in our society. And I have known hundreds of teachers in the Ford School District that I represent. They're good people, but we need to do some things. We need to try some new things. And Senator Torres Ray, I don't think that either Senator Bonoff or Senator Olson would have us think that this is the answer. This isn't the only answer, but I think this needs to be part of the overall solution. So I'm not sure, Senator Wieger, I should be speaking more directly to your amendment, but I don't know if you're really requiring a higher ed connection.
No, I'm not.
You're not requiring higher ed, but you're just requiring the assessment. I think the assessment is there. The assessment's there today, and we're not doing it. And I think those assessments will be there tomorrow, and then we'll know if we're making progress. And it's not something, as I said, that we can sit around and wait for. We have to act.
Senator
Bonoff.
Specifically to the amendment, so the authors, we don't support the amendment, and two reasons. With regard to the 90-hour instruction, that's not the Teach for America program. The Teach for America program, they go to, you know, those who teach in our schools actually spend 5 weeks in Chicago in a very intensive experience, as you've all heard, and have additional classwork, coursework, videos. There's a very structured program. So if, in fact, we want to have a bill that, among many other things, including mid-career professionals, but would allow for that program, if we had the 90-hour provision, that wouldn't work. So I don't support that provision. With regard to for the assessment part, I'll let Senator Olson speak to that. But again, with same as with Senator Torres Ray, we want to do a lot of work this session on evaluation and assessment in the overall scope of our traditional teaching. And so I know that we are going to work on that.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the alternative or the performance-based assessment here applying to all graduates takes us beyond the scope of this bill. And it also sets up a responsibility and no doubt a significant cost to developing those kinds of assessments for teachers, regardless of the route that they come. So I think Senator Bonhoff is correct that as we deal with the evaluation, performance evaluation, during the our discussions on improving the teacher quality from that aspect of it, and as Ed Minnesota has suggested that we work toward that end, I think that would be a more appropriate place to put that. I don't think it's essential. It actually, I think, does in fact put another barrier to the passage of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Olson. A roll call vote has been requested. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before we vote, I just wanted to make a comment, and I appreciate my friend Senator Wieger's amendment. However, I would urge members to oppose his amendment. The concern I have is the part of the amendment that requires a fully licensed classroom teacher to be present for 90 days. I think this would, in effect, make the whole program of alternative licensure moot. To require a school district to have two teachers in a classroom for one particular class of teachers would be, I think, economically prohibitive. I don't know that schools would do this. And I think, too, it really brings into question focusing on a teacher that got their training in a particular way. We have teachers trained in all kinds of programs across the state. I don't know how they perform, whether a teacher from Augsburg training does better than a teacher from Gustavus's training. But to focus on where they come from is a requirement that they would be needing a special sort of attention for the first 3 months that they're in the classroom, I think, is really not the way to do this, and I think it would be prohibited. So I would urge members of the committee to oppose the amendment.
Senator Wieger.
Chair, I know that when each of us has made up our mind, there's no point in continuing the debate, perhaps, but I would like to divide the amendment at page 3.12, and if the language on the 90 days could be the first item we vote on.
Well, roll call has already been requested on the amendment as a whole. So I'm not sure that we can actually divide it at this point. Give us a moment to figure that out.
You're just going to amend your amendment.
Well.
Yes. Would you like to vote on this would you like to divide the amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. If you do, then Senator Sieben needs to withdraw her request for a roll call.
I'll do that.
Okay. The roll call request has been withdrawn. Senator Wieger.
And Madam Chair, I ask that we divide the amendment and take up the language at 3.12 and vote on that first and preceding language second, and then I would ask for a roll call.
Okay, so your amendment now is just on the first part of the amendment up through line 3.11. Is that
Madam
correct?
Madam Chair, I think the maker of the motion can request, and we would go first at 3.12 to 3.19.
The
90-day provision.
So we're voting on the second part of your amendment first. Okay, so members, currently we're voting on the amendment lines 3.12 through 3.19. All in favor?
And
the
roll call was passed.
And a roll call has been requested. All right, will the assistant take the roll, please?
Chairwoman Nelson?
No.
Senator Bonhoff?
No.
Senator Chamberlain?
No.
Senator Daley?
No.
Senator DeCryfe?
No.
Senator Hahn?
No.
Senator Harrington?
No.
Senator Cruz?
No.
Senator Nino?
No.
Senator Olson?
No.
Senator Scheid?
No.
Senator Sieben?
Yes.
Senator Stumpf?
No.
Senator Thompson?
No.
Senator Torres-Ray?
No.
Senator Wieger?
Yes.
Senator Wolf?
No.
To report.
The roll is 15 yes and 2 no. I'm sorry, the roll is 15 no, 2 yes.
The amendment fails. Okay. Now on to your second part of the amendment.
Yes, Senator and Weider? I would withdraw the request for a roll call on the second.
Okay. So we have before us Amendment A3, lines 1-1 through 3-11. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No.
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 No. No.
Yes. Okay. The amendment is not adopted.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hand.
I don't know if our testifiers are going to move the amendment or move the bill, and perhaps I was that would be my inquiry if they're prepared to do that or if they're looking for a motion from one of the other members.
Senator Olson, would you like to move your bill?
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to, but if you would really like to, I wouldn't object to it. Oh, Madam Chair, I will move that Senate File 40 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay. The question before us is the motion of Senator Olson, Senate File 40, as amended, be favorably reported to the Senate and referred to the Finance Committee. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, no.
No.
No. The bill passes. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Here. Oh, this is the first bill.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you for your patience.